bird.
It's a plane.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Listen up, casuals.
Cowabunga! You got a plan.
I'm afraid my protocols are being overridden.
Game over, man.
Listen up, casuals. We are back. This is Chris.
And this is Rocco.
And we are going to be talking about the Wolverine tonight.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Logan himself, the tiny, and that's something, well, we'll talk about that later when it comes to Hugh Jackman, but that little fuzzy
camera
guy. That little fuzzy guy with the long, long claws.
The Canadian mutant. Yeah, man, I'm really excited to talk about Wolverine. He's one of my favorite characters and definitely one of those characters that I've been a fan of for a very long time, since childhood. And then we'll get into that more. But I do want to talk a little bit about what we're reading this week. So what did you pull and what are you reading?
Oh, goodness. So much. This week, this has been the week of finales. And I actually have my list here. So Gotham Knights, Gilded City, the companion comic for the game, that ended this week.
Nice.
Gotham City Year One.
Let me ask you, how did that end up? I know you weren't really thrilled with it at first, but did it end up okay?
Yeah, it was a bit contrived, like the game. But I mean, it told a good story. It deep cut for a villain, as far as I'm concerned, that I wasn't really expecting, but there you are. And I mean, it was cool. The artwork was not as desirable. It felt cheaply made. But it was a companion comic to a mediocre video game.
Yeah, I guess that's really it. I mean, anything that's based on, I guess, whenever they do a strange adaptation like that, I never find it to be that good. It's always kind of just like, hey, here's this filler, and we want you to buy it because we want you to buy into what we're doing. So,
well, it comes back to Midnight Suns, though. So when I realized that the Midnight Suns short little miniseries that came out had nothing to do with the video game.
Yep.
It was really good. And then the video game was really good. So the video game was really good, and the comic, the miniseries, was really good, and they don't connect at all.
So yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why, you know, it's just sometimes, unless you're like a collector of, say, like, for example, The Mandalorian, right?
Yeah.
So why do I need to read this and watch the show? But
yeah,
collecting standpoint, it's like, hey, here's your number one issue with the Mando has ever showed up to, you know, in first appearances and stuff like that. But usually it's just, yeah, like I said, it's a lot of filler.
Exactly. Exactly. Gotham City Year One ended. I haven't read that yet. But that Gotham City Year One is an old story of Gotham, back when Gotham City was the safest city and was the nicest city. And the Waynes are heavily involved. And it's definitely like an old school Private Eye Gumshoe kind of book. It was it's very good, but I can't really say much if you're gonna read it.
I do want to read it.
I would suggest it. It's not that it's not amazing, but it was very good. It was definitely it's worth a read.
Awesome.
And six issues, absolutely worth a read. Yeah, and easy. It's crazy how many things ended this week. Punchline, the Gotham game, that finally ended. I did read that. And for those of you that have been reading The Joker, the Man Who Stopped Laughing, and then the Joker series before that, you will know that the Joker's been out of Gotham for a very long time. He's been traveling the world, kind of finding himself, and it's just great. Met up with a family in Texas that was modeled after the family in Texas Chainsaw. I have to say, that was one of my favorite scenes, when they were discussing cooking him and he was helping them with the recipes of how to cook himself. I go really well with some lemon. And, you know, it was just very, very good. Like, he was just right at home with these group of cannibalistic family members that want to eat him. And he just was enjoying every minute of it in typical Joker fashion, even though he was the victim. The man who stopped laughing is fantastic, and it has brought him into what is punchline number six, the punchline, the Gotham game number six, where he's back and he confronts punchline, and it's a really good ending. We will be, they'll be picking up punchline as a portion of Catwoman, and Catwoman is an ongoing. So yeah. And then Dark Knights of Steel finally dropped another book with number 10. I read that almost immediately because I love that series so much. That was very, very good. It's still good. And then, yeah, Jabba's Palace for Star Wars comics.
Yes. The Return of the Jedi 40th anniversary. I would say there's like four specials coming out. Very, very cool. I'm picking these up. And then also, I guess they're doing the Return of the Jedi covers again, or like they did with Empire with Chris Sprouse, which is cool. I'm really excited to read these little one shots.
Absolutely. And then the last thing I'm going to mention for what I'm reading right now is, on the note of Star Wars, High Republic, The Blade. His name escapes me right now. It's bothering me so much, but the Blade, the main character Jedi, may actually be my favorite Jedi now after reading this short run, which ends as well this week with number four, a brother and sister Jedi team during the High Republic, which, again, if you know anything about the Jedi, that shouldn't really be because of attachment. You know, and there's a whole, read the book, read the series, a whole great explanation for it. I loved it. And then the brother, he is just awesome. And the book has been great. And I haven't read the ending yet, but I really can't wait for it. I hope we see more of them. I really do. And that's it. Chris, what are you reading?
There's a big spoiler. I got a big spoiler alert for you.
Okay.
So does that comic, it takes place before what is it, Light of the Jedi or whatever, the very first book of the High Republic series?
Oh, it does.
Yeah. So Porter Engel, right?
Is that his name? Porter Engel. That's it.
He dies in that book.
So, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. He goes out in like epic fashion, though. They talk about how great he is and stuff like that. So I hope they do more like of his previous stories to build him up that much. It was actually kind of cool to see that he got his own comic series. I was actually really interested. I wanted to pick that up, but I was going to wait to trade.
Good. It's better than High Republic. There were two High Republic offshoot books. There was this one, The Blade, and then the other one was Shadow something or other.
Trail of Shadow or
Trail of those two were better than just the actual High Republic run. Those are great. Those are great books, both of them.
You know, I think it's a lot about concise storytelling, where you have an ongoing series. Like, I'm writing arcs, which will cap at certain points, but then it's going to continue the story and so forth. But when you get that 6 or 8, 12, whatever, I feel like sometimes those are the best written, because they have a true end that the writer's trying to get to. So.
That's true. I do get excited for endings. I really enjoy endings of long runs, because I just like to see where everyone's at and then kind of reflect on everything I've read. Because with comics, like, it's an endeavor to really, especially the long runs, it costs you money. Then there's events that go on during them. And, you know, you want, my mother said, she's like, these are like your stories, right? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, these are your soap operas. These are your soaps. Yeah. They get you to buy them every freaking week. So I'm like, Ma, yeah, you pretty much nailed it, Ma.
Yep. They just have powers and wear tights and stuff.
So. Exactly. But what are you reading, Chris? What are you reading, my friend?
What am I reading? I am, as you said, a lot of things are ending. For me, a lot of things were beginning this week. So
nice.
On the DC side of things, I picked up Unstoppable Doom Patrol, which is a 6-part miniseries that kicked off this week. It is I love Doom Patrol. I really got into them through the TV show. I was always interested in reading, I believe it was the Grant Morrison run for them, and I will go back and do that. But this one is written by Dennis Culver with art by Chris Burnham. So I'm really looking forward to this because, like I just said, a mini series will be a nice storytelling. Mm-hmm. So also a Black Label comic came out this week. The first of four issues, Waller versus Wildstorm. Mm-hmm. This is something I was really excited for, or have been really excited for. It's by Evan Narcisse and Spencer Ackerman. And this goes back to like almost like the 80s Cold War, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like the kind of like an origin story for Waller. Wildstorm is part of it, which is a neat aspect of it. Deathstroke's in it, one of my favorite characters. I was worried because this actually got pushed, and at first they weren't sure if it was being canceled or not. So very excited that this is coming out, and I can't wait to read it.
Awesome.
And then Action Comics 1053 dropped. And then over on the Marvel side, Daredevil number 9. Actually, yes. I don't think I pulled Dark Knight's 10.
Really?
Yeah, I think I missed it. I'm gonna have to take a look.
Yeah,
so, it's kind of weird. I've been collecting those from the beginning, so
yeah,
I'm waiting to read it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
Oh, it's so good.
It's all good. I mean, I can get on the app in a month. So also,
that's true.
You mentioned the Jabba's Palace. I actually picked up two variants for that. So there's the Peach Moko Woman's History Month variant, which is Princess Leia, and her art is awesome. It's very like Japanese inspired, and it's very beautiful, like character art.
Okay.
I also actually just picked up, because I'm on a kick now, I picked up some back issues, one of Baby Yoda, mm-hmm. Grogu, and then also Aphra, and I think those are the only two. Oh no, then I got a Usagi Yojimbo one as well. But
wow.
So yeah, her art's really cool. Sometimes it actually can be worth a lot of money too if it's the right variant. So good stuff. Ambassadors number 1 of 6. This is a Mark Millar comic. Him and Frank Quietly are back teaming up for another series. I'm excited for this. I like everything that Mark Millar writes. Very excited for more.
Isn't he the dude who did Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and Joker's Legacy, which didn't do great on streaming as a series, but it's a really cool comic.
What was that?
Joker's Legacy.
Wasn't that a movie?
It was a series. It got released on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Lars had this deal with Netflix for a while. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember.
Yep.
Okay. The show was bad though.
I never watched it. I probably should have just at least tried it. So, and the last up, Alex Ross has been doing these timeless variants. This week, Venom Lethal Protector number 2 or part 2.
Yeah.
Number two came out. Yeah. So this awesome drawn Venom by Alex Ross. Very, very into these kind of covers. Mm-hmm. I did a few of the hero ones. I actually just went crazy with this Dr. Doom sketch one CGC that went up at the website, and I was like, I gotta get this. So yeah, I love his art, and these timeless covers have been amazing.
I love Alex Ross, and I think that I need to contact my comic shop and get that Alex Ross Venom cover. Even if I don't get the rest of the series.
Yeah, man. I would get the Doom too. It's one of the greatest things I've seen. It's Guardians of the Galaxy number 1, which Groot World or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the end of that segment. We have something to talk about because this is kind of crazy because I was, what was it, over the weekend, Jonathan Majors was arrested. He's arrested for assault accusations. Mm-hmm. And at first it just seemed like it was being pushed as a fake thing. Mm-hmm. It was being pushed that he was innocent and whatnot. And, you know, as a fan of Jonathan Majors, because I watched him Lovecraft Country, I forgot the show is
Country.
Country. It's a great show. It was like where great I really show. First like found out about his acting chops. And so with him being cast as Kang and having such a huge role in the MCU, there's more and more of these little allegations coming out about him, including two directors stepping forward and saying that this kind of abusive behavior, whether it be verbal, physical, whatever, is not out of character for who he is. And that Hollywood's kind of built him up as this golden boy, but a lot of people know the truth. We're recording this episode at the end of March. This is probably going to drop, you know, within a month or so. My concern is, like, we don't know if he's guilty or not. But I want to get your, you know, your feelings on it, because it would have huge consequences, I should say, for the Marvel movies.
Absolutely, Chris. And I was telling you there in the green room that I was on my other show, and this was a point to discuss. And my answer remains the same. If it was actually true, if this is true, this is going to have major implications to the Marvel universe. However, Marvel also set themselves up with the multiverse, which gives them so much room to play and gives so much plausible deniability to the changing of characters that they almost built in a fail-safe for all of their films in case this type of stuff came out. That's very possible. And it's plausible too. Now, in terms of Jonathan Majors, the issue we have, especially in this country, but around the world, is the court of public opinion and social media. I mean, the moment this was announced, the meme game was on. The number of memes about him being a domestic abuser exploded. And this is before anyone even really knows what happened. We still really don't know what happened. We don't have a solid story of what happened. And the day of fake news, it's very, very possible that all of this was untrue. However, it's also very possible that this is true. And if it is true, it's disturbing. And I can't abide with a dude that would do these things. And unfortunately, I'm just not going to be able to be a fan anymore. And that sucks. But it sucks, but it's true.
The dude does not abide from Big Lebowski. But yes, I think it'd be really unfortunate. And just like I said, I really enjoy his work. I was really excited to really like see Creed 3. I wanted to see it in IMAX, but I didn't have the opportunity. I just actually watched the other two Creed movies recently for the first time. And I was very excited to try to do that, but I haven't been in the movie theater in a while. Nonetheless, we got to see what happens. It's unfortunate. And I don't condone violence of any kind. And let's see what happens. We'll talk about it in season four.
Right. I love violence, but I love my violence fictional.
Yes.
And that's always been my stance. I love violence, but as long as it's fictional. And this is not. Right. And, you know, like, I mean, maybe it's nothing. I don't know. But the court of public opinion has already spoken, and that may already be a huge issue for Jonathan Majors, even if it comes out that this is nothing.
And Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's been known to cut ties for less.
So. That's very true.
So stay tuned. Let's jump into some news, because there's some cool stuff that, you know, has come up. Including Liv Tyler is returning for Cap 4, which is great. And it's slowly evolving into a Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm really excited about this movie. And the more news I get about it, the more excited I get. And then, like, you got to add the fact that I have been reading both current Captain America runs.
Yes.
And if you're not, you should be reading them. And that's to all of you casuals listening.
That crossover just started, right?
The Cold War.
Yeah,
it's going to start in a couple weeks.
Okay, so it's right there.
Yes, but what I love about that is that it started as one comic, and then after two issues, broke into two separate runs, one following Steve, one following Sam, and then they're coming back together. And it's just I the way they did this and designed it was just really, really well done.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds, I like when they do that kind of stuff, that it when you're doing super events and events that just have endless tie-ins and don't make much sense, and you don't have to buy that issue. It's nice when they do a concentrated effort across books in this regard, because you're getting a solid story. You're staying within the same world still, but you're able to play around a little bit differently in that sandbox.
Exactly. And it makes me more and more excited for Captain America 4, because I've spent a lot of time with Sam as Captain America reading these comics. Yes. Sure, I get Steve in the other run too, because they both go on a separate mission within the one mission that they're on, which caused the break in the comics. Which was genius. But again, spending so much time with Sam in the comics makes me want this movie even more and even more. And knowing that Liv Tyler is now involved, I loved her as Betty Ross. I really, really did. And I was sad that I'm sad it's taken them this long.
I am too. But it seems like everybody's returning. Sadly, you know, Harrison Ford has had to take over the role, but that's, to me, that's a win as well. You know, unfortunately,
William Hurt.
Yeah. William Hurt passed. And I was really excited to see a William Hurt Red Hulk probably, you know, here within the next few years, but Harrison Ford, we all know,
of course,
Han shot first. So, it's also interesting because this movie will introduce adamantium into the MCU, and we are about to talk about that in the second half of the show. So stay tuned, everyone.
Absolutely.
Loki season 2 is rumored to be back at the end of the summer, early September. Yeah, I'm really excited. I loved that show. I think it was one of the better Marvel shows, that maybe the best one. But this whole idea of what we're doing with the multiverse, there's so much crazy things they can do on that show. Plus with the, you know, with the rumors that the Time Bureau or whatever is going to be involved with, you know, Deadpool 3, you know, they're opening up the world more and more. And as much as people wanted to say, hey, phase 4 was kind of lackluster, I mean, it did introduce a lot of cool concepts.
Yeah. I just remembered that based on our earlier news, I am waiting for news to find out that Loki season 2 is being delayed.
Reshoots.
Yeah, because of the news we spoke about earlier. Again, you haven't seen Ant-Man. That's all I can say. But
maybe it's better I haven't yet.
I want to just say what I want to say, but I'm afraid to. But regardless, this is Loki season 2. We've seen some of it already.
That's fine.
And yeah, so Jonathan Majors, fuck you, dude.
This is could be devastating going back to our devastating.
And you reminded me, like when you're talking about Loki, I'm sitting there going, oh yeah, wait a second. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I loved Loki season. I loved Loki. I loved the show. It was great. I'm looking forward to season 2. I hope it happens.
Me too. It'll happen. Just when will it happen?
Yeah.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Your daughter loves this comic. So I'm really happy to see this taking off for kids, and that, you know, something for everyone. That RoboCop himself, Peter Weller, will be joining the cast of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
And that's for season 2?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's only been the one season.
Yeah, there has been the one season already, which I believe they threw up that whole season at once, which I thought was strange for Disney Plus. There wasn't you didn't have to wait every week. It just
for the kids.
Yeah, it was all there, right? Yeah, good point.
Get in front of it. Binge it.
Exactly.
Leave me alone. And let me do my taxes.
Right. My daughter loved it. My son enjoyed it as well. And it's just the voice talent is great. I love that Lawrence Fishburne is not only a producer, but he plays the Beyonder and he's a narrator. I love Lawrence Fishburne so much. And just to see his involvement, and he loves it. He loves this show. I saw him in an interview about the show, and he's so excited about it, like a child would be. And it made me want to love this show more. And I did. It wasn't hard to love.
Awesome. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch it with my niece when I'm home this summer.
It's definitely geared towards kids, but like, if you love comics and it's just so well done, it doesn't insult the children. It's not insulting. So when you watch it, you're like, okay, cool. Right on.
And the adults can enjoy it as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. Last up in this Marvel news onslaught, Secret Invasion, which is a show I am eagerly anticipating. Very, very much so. Especially since I think, what's the chick from Game of Thrones name?
Daenerys, but what's her actual,
we'll just name what's her Star Wars name?
Kira. And the thing that's annoying is it's going to come and I'm just going to blurt it out later.
That's right. Just blurt it out when we're ready. So the rumor that she'll be playing, Amelia Clark. Thank you. We'll be playing Abigail Brandt, the head of S.W.O.R.D., bringing in that agency even further into the MCU is exciting. And I love any kind of Secret Invasion storyline because it's such a cool concept with the Skrulls, and it's a really neat way to use it. And the original one really, really blew my mind. But this is coming June 21st.
I'm excited because I heard a rumor, and again, rumor could be completely false. Take it with a grain of salt. I don't work for Marvel. That there will be a member of the MCU that we have known for a very, very, very long time that will turn out to have been a Skrull since the beginning. And I know we saw in Spider-Man Far From Home, it was Sam Jackson's character, Nick Fury. But that wasn't it. Again, it could not mean anything.
No, you're right. It's going to be something. I mean, that's really one of the coolest things that, you know, Secret Invasion did. They basically retconned Hank Pym. Mm-hmm. And because they had written these comics where Hank Pym was abusive to Janet. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to say, hey, Hank has been gone all these years. He was abducted by the Skrulls, and it's been a Skrull this whole time. So Hank is a good guy. Let's bring him back into the, you know, the fold. So however you want to retcon comics and whatnot, but I think that kind of stuff is fun.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what they do with the show, because it being a series is a much different approach than making it a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And, the trailer was great, and Sam Jackson all grizzled with that white beard as Nick Fury. I love it.
Got to get back to those Winter Soldier vibes, man. I miss that MCU a lot.
Russo brothers.
Yeah, man. Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Jumping over to DC. So we got a rumor today that Clayface will play a part in the Batman 2. So this is great news. I've waited a good chunk of my life for them to start using more of the obscure villains and not the same ones over and over again. And I think that Clayface would be an amazing villain either, you know, to go between the TV shows and this. There's a lot of uses for him, you know, especially since he also eventually becomes a good guy and stuff like that. I love this character. I think it's very multidimensional, and it would be really neat to see it on screen.
And I wonder if they'll go the story, the Basil Carlo. Basil, is it Carlo?
You're right on the last name. I think it's Basil Carlo or Basil Carlo. We're American. We can pronounce things differently every time we say it.
That's true. The question is with Matt Reeves, the Batman being so grounded, how are they going to work this in? And that's my only question. I'm not against it. I'd love to see a practically done Clayface, but how do you make Clayface practical is my point.
I don't think they're going to stick to this quote unquote grounded. I think it'll be the Batman world, which is in a way grounded in the comics. Mm-hmm. And there's ways like you can still have these weird things happen. I think that's my biggest frustration is like the grounded version of Batman was the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes.
To a T.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly done in that regard. This, I think that they can kind of venture outward. I think they can do kind of weird things like that if they wanted to, and still be able to just, people are going to freak out because they have to do a Batman world that we all have been waiting for. And I think the Batman, you know, I, in my opinion, was exactly what they should be doing. And it delivered on every level. I've watched the movie multiple times and I enjoy it every time. And I'm so happy to see the route they went and that they're keeping it. And we're getting this whole multimedia TV and movie world. And it's just going to pass the story between. And it's just, there's a lot of potential for that sitting outside this new DCU as well, which is a smart move.
Exactly. And it's to be me right now is just great. Because my two favorite superheroes are Batman and Daredevil. And every single day I'm getting set photos for Daredevil and I'm getting set photos from the Penguin. And I just feel it's like a great time to be alive.
Hell yeah. They haven't officially announced that Daredevil will be two seasons, but Vincent D'Onofrio said something in an interview where he kind of led the idea that there will be. So I think that's exciting. I think that's great. And if they're going to take Kingpin to a whole new level in the MCU.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I know that they already said like Ant-Man is going to have part like some influence on the show. So that's pretty cool too.
Hell yeah. Cannot wait. Couple of Titans news. Titans, the rest of season four, the final season will return on April 13th. So by the time you hear this, it'll be back on the final six episodes. Very excited for it because they are closing it out properly. And then there's been this rumor of a Stargirl Titans crossover, which is apparently real. And we will be knowing more details soon. Cool. This is a show I keep pushing you to watch with your daughter. I think that she would enjoy it. I really enjoyed it. It's almost Spielberg-y in some regards. It is kids. So it is definitely aimed towards kids. I would say middle grade and further, but I really thought it was fun. I think they did a really good job with the characters and the homages to the DC universe and more. And it's kind of crazy that they're crossing over Titans, which is a much more mature show. So
yeah, yes.
We'll see, I guess. We'll see. And then last up, just a little Star Wars news. Jackson, the Green Rabbit from the very original Marvel comic series, which came out, I think, in 78. So very old character, is getting a special, like a one shot, that'll be only available at, Celebration Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
It's not, especially like it's by Kevin Scott.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll let you stew about that.
I'm stewing, baby.
We'll stew our way right into commercial, and then we're going to come back and talk about The Wolverine.
Can't wait.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
Listen up, casuals, because we are back from commercial. This is Rocco.
And this is Chris.
And we are here to talk about Wolverine, The Wolverine, Logan, James Howlett. He goes by Weapon X. He goes by many names.
Patch,
right? Patch. Just don't call him late for dinner. It's Bub.
Snickety snick.
Right. But yeah, man. So like we always always start with, Chris, what introduced you to this character?
It's funny. I think it was old coloring books when I was a kid. I don't know if it was Secret Wars or what it was, because I had this cool Secret Wars coloring book, I remember. And I would take the pictures out and hang them on my wall and things like that. And I think that's my very first introduction. And then, of course, I'm trying to remember when I got that cool Toy Biz figure, right? It was the 4-inch figures, and it was where the claws would come out. All right. And he's in his brown and yellow costume, which has always been my favorite. I actually just found the comic the other day. I had this Save the Tiger was like one of my oldest comics I have in my collection that I actually bought as a kid. And so I just have this like memory before like my actual geekdom began, you know, of course, with the animated series and then going into, you know, being a teen and reading comics. But yeah, it's really weird because I felt like the character's always been very influential in like my fandom of not only, you know, X-Men and Marvel, but, you know, comics altogether.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny you say that. I believe I had a similar figure to that, but it was his blue and yellow costume. But he was fully articulate, and his claws, you could push his claws out. Mm-hmm. And it was a 4-inch figure. But I think it was probably a newer version of what you're discussing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I forget how many times the Toy Biz line went or got renewed or changed their format, but it was not super articulated.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
You could clip his mask on and off.
Okay. So no, different figure then.
Yeah. It was, I don't know how old I was. It was probably before I was 10, maybe.
Well, I snapped the leg off of it as a child, and I remember being very, very sad about that because it was one of my favorite figures. But my parents were like, you break it, we're not replacing it. So that's what happened. I would say like most of my characters, the 90s X-Men show.
I was leaving that for you.
Yeah, I mean,
because I think, you know, with our age difference, you were much younger when you watched it. And I think it was definitely more influential to you. I mean, I love that show. And I'm sorry to interrupt. So you
no
geek out. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. You're all good. No, that was the introduction. And then I had that figure. And then I did, when I started reading comics, X-Men was one of the comics that I started with as a kid. And I read X-Men way too young. And I remember, was it my mom? Or one of my many stepmothers that like was like, why are the girls dressed so like, why are they dressed like that? Like, should you be reading this?
Yes.
And I was kind of just like, go away. but yeah, X-Men was one of the first comics I ever read. So Wolverine obviously was there. It was very 90s, very, very stylized, you know, and I miss that. It was very much like the show. And then I had X-Men cartoon creator CD-ROM for my old Packard Bell computer where
I had that too.
Oh my God. Remember you could you could like add effects and stuff. And I always like made Wolverine do cool shit. I thought it was the cool. You could have like the Danger Room as a background and Cyclops would shoot his freaking eye lasers. That was a blast. I spent hours on that thing with the computer that sounded like a jet engine and was about as tall as I was, the tower.
That's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. It had the two floppy disks and the CD-ROM. And then, yeah, you would make your own cartoons. So, yeah, that was Wolverine. Like, I had a lot of Wolverine. I had posters. I had pictures. I had, like, comic books. I had action figures. Wolverine was a big, big deal in the 90s. He really was.
Especially like angsty preteens and teenagers. It's like everybody likes the badass character.
And the cigar, you know?
Yeah, right. And he was just, and his affiliations with like fighting ninjas or going to Japan and doing these crazy things. It was neat to me. And I just really enjoyed reading, I guess at that level, because it was different when we got to the animated series where it started mm-hmm. adapting more of the, you know, all of the X-Men arcs, which they did a really good job with. But it's funny because it took so long to make an X-Men movie.
Yes.
When comic book movies started getting good with Blade, you know, in the late 90s, 97 maybe, and then it just kind of evolved from there. And X-Men came out in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good chunk later than for me, because I'm already out of high school by that mm-hmm. point. And this whole,
I was a freshman.
Do you remember Wizard Magazine? And do you remember the casting calls?
No, I don't remember the casting calls. I remember Wizard Magazine, though.
So they always did casting calls, you know, some in issues, and they would cast a movie, fan cast, you know, has become more and more prevalent with.
Yep.
But it's just like Patrick Stewart was always there as Professor X, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, he is Professor X. When I think of Professor X, I think of Patrick Stewart. I even hear the voice, because it's not even that far off of the voice from the 90s cartoon show. It's practically the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. They did such a good job. And he does such a good job with everything he does. So, yeah, very cool. But now we've gotten live action X-Men.
Yes, we have.
And it's they changed some things. From costumes and whatnot. I think costumes were probably the biggest thing.
Yes.
The core team and just how they set things up. But it's interesting because this franchise would go on for 20 years.
Yes.
Hit or miss. It doesn't matter. The rebooted, soft reboot, requel, or whatever they did, like kind of tying everything together with basically like a multiverse. Mm-hmm. First one's there. And you know, I was really impressed because with Wolverine being so heavily involved in the movies, we have basically X2 being the first Wolverine movie.
I mean even
X-Men 1 is a Wolverine movie, but X2 is like they do Weapon X.
Oh yes, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's
yes,
heavy,
yes.
Heavy. It's a heavy Wolverine story. He is definitely the main protagonist in that film.
I agree, and I liked X2. I liked just about all of the X-Men movies. I thought Days of Future Past was so good. They started really dipping at Apocalypse, and then by Dark Phoenix, I was just kind of like, why am I watching this? But I really, really liked Days of Future Past. I really liked X-Men First Class. People don't like that. I really like that. I love James McAvoy as a young Professor Xavier. I think he's fantastic. And I loved in Days of Future Past when Wolverine fixed everything and he came back to the X-Mansion and just the mansion, and it was like what the way I remembered it to be.
Yeah.
And that was just,
but better even.
Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly. Although I will make a mention, one of my favorite depictions of the X mansion or Professor Xavier's mansion is in Deadpool 2, when he's like, why is this place so fucking empty? He's like, it's almost like we didn't have the budget. And then you do the shot behind and they're all in the one room and they just close the door.
yep. That was really clever, because it is kind of funny that they only used a couple, you know, X-Men for that movie. So
yeah,
and who they could have chosen from, they did a good job with that, but it's interesting that they were trying to build up this mutant world, but they never did anything like super super epic across the films.
No, so. they didn't. But I love those. I really did love those movies.
Yeah, me too. I think when we get to the idea of they wanted to do those origin movies, I think after their misstep with Wolverine Origins, which is fine story-wise to a certain extent. We also get the first introduction of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, which is fun and not fun at the same time.
Yeah.
But this movie, it was just kind of, I don't like the approach they did with it. I don't like the changes they made with it. It doesn't flow right. It's a bad patch almost at that point.
Yeah, the X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah, that was an interesting movie. I don't really know, minus the cash grab, it was what the purpose of it was.
Because they were like, oh, we're going to do a Magneto one. Yeah. We'll do another. But this, if you can't even pull a Wolverine, you're not going anywhere. So.
No.
But speaking of origins, I just wanted to bring up a couple of the, you know, the comics.
Yes.
Because we also like to talk about comic books on this show in regards to the character that we're speaking of. So we talked about Cap 4 being the first introduction of adamantium into the MCU. And so this actually does happen before Wolverine shows up in the comics, which is great.
Kind of like what they're doing with the movies.
Right. Right. So any naysayers just say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Read the comics. 1969, first adamantium in Avengers 66.
Wow. What was it in reference to? Do you know specifically or no?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
I'd be curious. I want to look at that. I'm going to try and find that out.
Yep. And then, you know, everybody out there, the idea for the movies is going to be that it's from a fallen Eternal, which is kind of cool. So, the very first appearance, possibly the true appearance, was in Foom magazine number 2 in 1973, drawn by a fan named Andy Olson. So he drew this character very much like Wolverine. But Wolverine doesn't really show up in the comics until 1974, and that's in The Incredible Hulk. He gets a little small cameo in 180, and then his first full appearance is in 181, 1974, like I said. Created by Roy Thomas, Len Wein, and John Romita Sr.
Wow.
And did you watch the Hulk versus cartoon movies?
Yes.
Do you remember the Wolverine one?
Yes.
Basically, that's the retelling of it, right?
Oh, okay.
So Wendigo and whatnot. So,
okay.
Very, very valuable comic. Definitely one of the hottest keys out there. And why not? He's one of the most popular characters.
That's true.
Giant sized X-Men number 1, 1975 is his first appearance as an X-Men. They relaunched X-Men with a brand new team. This was his first appearance on the team.
Wow.
Two number ones that are important to think about when you're looking to track down Wolverine comics. 1982 from Claremont and Miller. It's his first solo. It's a miniseries.
Okay.
But in 1988, he gets his first ongoing by Claremont and Bouchard.
I wonder how long the ongoings went back then.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I feel like we should do more research then. Chris,
in.
Why don't you know this? It's not casual enough.
Call in, casuals. If you have the answer, we're live right now. Oh, and the phones are ringing.
Yeah, they are. We have people standing by to take your call.
This will be the only time this year we'll be asking for donations.
That's right. All of them. A year's worth.
That's right.
Then we're going to jump forward to 2001. So Wolverine gets an origin story told in the comics this is what they adapted for the Wolverine movie, where it's him and Vic back and then in the West, the Old West or whatever. So this is actually
Revolutionary War.
No, it's before that. I think in this, I don't know. I think it's more like Old West, and then it goes through the time.
Okay.
But they basically like retcon and they do a true origin for Logan.
Okay.
Two, I guess, Spawn of Wolverine. One is Laura Kinney, X-23. Mm-hmm. We just talked about Harley Quinn on the last show, who was a character who first appeared in a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Same thing here.
Oh.
She actually showed up for the first time X-Men Evolution.
Oh, wow.
And then became a character in the comics. And you can get NYX number 3 was her first appearance.
Wow. Yeah, I like her. I liked her in Dark Ages. Did you read Marvel's Dark Ages?
No, I didn't.
Do you? Oh, wow. So it was a short mini series. It was written by Tom Taylor. Some type of eternal or something that was awoken in the center of the earth, and it was going to pretty much destroy the earth. And so Doctor Strange goes to the center of the earth and creates a spell to launch this perpetual EMP, which kills him, kills a whole bunch of really well-known characters, including the pretty much most of the Fantastic Four, just dead. Like in the first page of the book. But it's called Dark Ages because of that giant EMP, which stops this creature, also wipes out all electricity and technology in the world. And so you have these like factions of heroes and mutants, some of which are trying to protect humans in tribes and some of which are not so great. And one of the main group that we follow, X-23, Laura is part of that group, which is great. It's like her and Peter Parker and, little May, his daughter. Who else? Moon Girl, Devil Dinosaur, Blade. They're like this like tight knit group that are trying to like protect this group of humans. And it's really, really good series. You really got to know Laura. And I loved her. She's just like her dad. I loved it.
That's cool. I'll have to check that out. That's kind of like an Elseworlds thing, right?
It is. And it was so, there are so many superheroes and X-Men and just everyone in this, just so many. The guest list of this book is so long and it's great. They do kill a fuck ton of them though. So be ready.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll mention something like that in a second. That reminds me of the last thing we're going to talk about. But before that, X-23 was a clone, but he, Wolverine, Logan, actually has a son. His name is Daken. Has Daken with the character Itsu, or a Japanese lady. This was in Wolverine Origins number 10 in 2007. They used Daken a lot during Dark Reign because they had the... when Norman Osborn took over S.H.I.E.L.D. and they filled in these super villains for heroes, like Bullseye was Hawkeye and Ares was Thor and more. So Daken took over the role of Wolverine because around that time, it was like New Avengers and he was on that team more. So he was very incorporated in the whole, you know, the big scene and the crossovers. But yeah, Daken, I haven't heard much about him as of late. If anybody out there knows what his current status is, let us know.
Call in. The phones are live.
Old Man Logan is an Elseworlds tale in a way. They kind of made it to be part of the Marvel Universe, which was kind of an interesting thing to do. I think it came after Secret Wars when they did that. So they merged these worlds into the main Marvel Universe. But the Old Man Logan comic was awesome. If you haven't read it, if any of you out there haven't read it, check it out, because Mark Millar, Steve McNiven, this tale of what happens in the future and some of the crazy things, like you're saying, where these... I love when you get these tales, because when heroes or villains show up and you're surprised by it and the way they're like handled, and like it's cool to kind of see it outside their normal wheelhouse of continuity comics.
Absolutely. And I love that with those Elseworld tales. Now, Old Man Logan, was that the inspiration for the movie Logan?
In a way, yes, but not at all.
Okay.
It's a completely different story.
Okay.
But that concept of the future, of this totally different thing. We'll talk about Logan because
okay,
we have to.
Yes,
but yeah, check that out. That's a really great series.
So, hell yeah.
So right now in the comics, Ben Percy is writing Wolverine. I started his series, but I kind of fell off after a while. I need to get back to it. He is going to be doing a crossover because he's also writing Ghost Rider. So they'll be doing, I think, like a few issues or something like that.
With a crossover?
Yeah.
With
the two comics. No, it's coming, isn't it?
No, there was two books where it was Wolverine and Ghost Rider that already happened books ago. Shoot. Yeah. I mean, unless there's another coming, that might be. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But there was it started with a motorcycle race.
Okay.
And a lot of superheroes were involved in this like death defying motorcycle race. Like Moon Knight was there, but Wolverine was there too. And he and Johnny got into it. And that's when Wolverine realized that there's something wrong with Johnny. And they ended up tussling, but also ended up like working together. I want to say it's a 2 or 3 issue arc, and then Wolverine's out.
And it just takes place in Ghost Rider?
It takes place in Ghost Rider, yeah. Okay. Now, Wolverine, I'm regretting that I didn't jump on the number one for this. And I just that's too far gone now for me to get into it now. So I'm a little, that's one of those comics that I'm like, I really should have got on that one.
I guess my biggest thing with it is I want to read like a solid Wolverine story. And they were doing so much stuff with the Krakoa and the X-Men's current status of having that island nation. And he was, I think they were doing a lot of crossing over with that. And so I just really wanted to get back to some Wolverine stories. So I bought that number one issue because it was really cool artwork by Alex Ross. Really neat cover. So I really haven't read much of it. But what I was referencing is actually called Weapons of Vengeance.
Okay.
And so it starts this summer. And they'll go between the two titles.
Oh, okay.
So that's, yeah, I'm sure Wolverine showed up in Ghost Rider already. And I think I definitely need to get caught up on that series.
Yeah. It's, it started off like, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to stick with this, but then like, once I got like 4 or 5 issues in, I was like, this is really good. Ghost Rider it's getting better and better every issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I really thought it was going to be like a maxi series or something like that, but it's not. It's pure ongoing, and it's really amping up what they're doing with the character. And now, with Danny Ketch coming back as well for his own mini series, it's just really exciting with Ghost Rider, 50 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. He's a weird and unique character, and I like that. And I liked his dichotomy with Wolverine in those, and the fact that they could go toe to toe, and the Spirit of Vengeance is a demon, and Wolverine's a very angry small person with claws.
Well, that's why I like how they handle Midnight Suns, the game as well. I'm really disappointed that more people didn't take the chance on it. And maybe they will in the long run, but I love that you can throw Wolverine into these kind of these stories because he works across everything. He's so old. He's definitely crossed paths with so many different characters. His mutant ability is why you would pick him on a team, right? Mm-hmm. So, and his his animosity, and that berserker rage. I just think that he's such a flexible character. And seeing him, go into the Ghost Rider comic or show up on Midnight Suns, where some of the characters kind of questioning at first, why are you in this game? Of course, it made sense later because it's such a great game. But Wolverine, I was excited and it took so long to unlock him.
Yes, I know. It was like, oh, when am I going to get Wolverine? I know he's here.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was great. And I'm going to say with that game, the DLC has been a bit disappointing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just so violently short. Deadpool was the best one so far, in my opinion. But I mean,
they said that was like the super short one.
and it's funny because it felt longer. Maybe I made it take longer, but like Morbius, like I one sitting.
What?
Yeah.
I'm gonna wait to buy it then.
Yeah, it was good though. I mean, it was good, and I like adding him to the team. But yeah,
but for such a drawn out game that really lasted and kept fresh, that's kind of disappointing.
That's what I'm saying, and I absolutely agree with you.
Well, they need to make an X-Men game so that we get that. The Wolverine films. So we talked about Origins, whatever. The next one, The Wolverine, the one that takes place in Japan, I enjoyed that. You know, I really enjoyed that one. So we got some really neat, a different side of Logan. Maybe it's also because I read those comics when I was a kid. So it was like, I was always kind of intrigued by this character who was trained, you know, as a ninja or whatever, and still was a mutant and was a gaijin. I think that's the right word, outsider or whatever. So I enjoyed that movie regardless of some of the things they did in it.
I liked it. I liked the opening scene was wild, with the Japanese POW camp.
Yes, that's a cool freaking scene.
That was wild. He's just in that well. They just have him in a well. They don't know what else to do with him. And he's just in a well, and he saves that guy's life, and how that pushes the story ahead. Just a great, I thought that was a great movie, far better than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
It's not hard to be, but
it's true.
Yeah, there was just a lot of really cool things in that. And even the Silver Samurai, was a little more far-fetched than I wanted it to be. I mean, I liked the original, I liked that whole storyline with Silver Samurai and that whole side of the Wolverine mythos, but it was like his giant suit. And I mean, it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I had a really cool time. I think when the ninjas all like are shooting him with those grappling hooks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, that's one of the cooler scenes in the X-Men films. Like I said, I liked seeing that because that was something I'd always associated with the character, was his Japan adventures.
Yes. Yes.
It's Logan, right? That's it.
His cameo in X-Men First Class. Do you remember that?
One of the best cameos ever. One of the best uses of the F-bomb.
It was great. Go fuck yourself. That was so, and then I love that it was brought up in Days of Future Past. I remember you. You're the one who told me in that bar. But anyway, Logan, I believe, was an achievement in filmmaking in this genre. Mm-hmm. I think I put it up there with The Dark Knight. I put it up there with The Batman. I put it up there with, I put it up there with the Winter Soldier. We're talking serious toned movie that had so much in it. It wasn't just your typical run of the mill superhero movie. It was a drama that happened to have superheroes in it. And I think I really love that.
Yes. I didn't, like, we just talked about the comic and I didn't know what to expect. And typically that kind of stuff is disappointing for fans when they totally change the source material. But in some regard, it turns out great too. And I think this is one of those examples. What they decided to do with Patrick Stewart was amazing. And he really brought his A game to that role. I mean, it was just like, and it's so crazy and sad to see like the state of where they are and how many people have died and friends they've lost and more, and where the world's at. And, you know, we were talking about X-23, Laura is a big part of this movie, and it's really cool because I love the actress they picked for her, and the story that they gave her with these kids that were being tested, and more. So it just like that, the Mandalorian, The Last of Us, like, you know, Wolf and Cub, all this. I love that kind of story, and I think it really worked well in this movie.
It's a trope that can be used over and over and over again. You just kind of change who the wolf and the cub are, and you can move forward. And I think that's why it works so well, is because we like those stories. And when you can take these characters and interchange them into the story, it's pretty fantastic. The thing, though, that with Logan I liked, and you kind of touched on that, is Patrick Stewart's character. And to me, like, Wolverine has always been known to be a loner, and you see the beginning of the film and you're like, all right, he's back to his loner, lonely ways. And don't we find out a few more moments into the film that everything he's doing is to medicate and take care of Professor Xavier? And it's almost like this father figure he never really had, that is the one that, I mean, Professor Xavier did the most for Wolverine, did the most for Logan, did so much for him in trying to calm him and center him and reclaim his past and understand who he is, and just be a good father that he never had. And Logan, the penultimate loner, is seen here taking care of this frail old man. And there was absolute sadness, but absolute beauty in that. And when you can take something that complex and you can really mix the superheroes into it, you know, on screen, it's fantastic. They already do that in the comics. We already have that in the comics, and I love that. But it's not well translated from comic to screen, in my opinion. And this movie is one of the few movies that have been able to do that. And there, it's not just Logan. There are movies that have done that, but it's a shorter list.
Yeah, it's taken a while for people to really learn how to adapt things, I think, and to properly adapt. And if you're not going to do it, do something totally different. It's okay. Yeah, some of the fan base may get a little feral, but who cares? If you can deliver something like this, I think that it's important. This is like one of those situations where I question why a comic book movie has not won an Oscar or been nominated for proper awards. I think it's sometimes there are gems, like you said, out there, Dark Knight, this and more, that should be more recognized as leading the genre. You have a genre that is making millions and millions and billions and billions and trillions of dollars. So, I
look at a movie like Ant-Man the Wasp Quantumania, okay, and you watch that movie and you have fun, but you know that this movie's not going to win an Oscar, right? Like, you have a good time, you're like, this is not going to win an Oscar, but you're going to sit there and tell me that The Batman isn't going to take home a single trophy? Okay, like, come on, really? Logan, did Logan win anything?
I think so. I mean, they get like these smaller awards, right?
I mean,
or if it's like these huge effect awards and stuff like that.
Well, right? Heath Ledger did get supporting actor posthumously. Yes,
that's for
the Joker. And I mean, wow. And didn't Joaquin Phoenix also win the Oscar for Joker? So I believe Heath Ledger won supporting actor as the Joker, and Joaquin Phoenix won actor as the Joker.
So Logan was nominated for best adapted screenplay.
Mm-hmm. And lost.
Yeah. Oh no. Yes, of course. But it's just like, why is it so difficult for, I get it. Comic book movies are a dime a dozen now. And sure, I mean, it's like when you're putting out this much stuff, it is like, hey, it's like Westerns, but I love Westerns, so I'm not complaining.
Sure.
Right. But not all Westerns are great. There are some fucking amazing Westerns, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, like Tombstone is one of those examples. So True Grit. So
310 to Yuma.
Hell yeah, 310 to Yuma.
It's a great movie.
Awesome movie. And that's where I just kind of get hung up, where these people in the industry insult the idea of comic book movies and what they are, but they have such a huge, they have such control over pop culture right now that how can you deny a movie if it's excellent?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It is disrespect. It's disrespectful. You know, comic books, like so many movies, even before the MCU and DC were adapted from different comic books or pulp or things of that sort of nature. And now, some of, as they're saying, well, they're like theme park rides. That's all they are. Or we're not really there for the actor. You're there for who the actor is playing. Like, you're not there to see Chris Evans. You're there to see Captain America. I believe it was, what's his name that said that? One of my favorite directors, Quentin Tarantino, said that, you know, and he's since kind of corrected himself. Like, I'm not trying to say these guys are bad actors. They're great actors. What I'm saying is that you're there to see the character. You're not there to see the actor. And to an on a level, he's right. But at the same time, like, why disrespect them like that? Like, I want to see Chris Evans, Captain America. I do. I want to see Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, you know, like, so. I don't know.
The actors have a part in creating the character for live action. They do. And it's like, you can't separate the two. You have to appreciate it from both aspects.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, yeah, I didn't know who Chris Evans was. I mean, what was he on that train movie? With
I got not another teen movie was sure. Was mine. That was, remember the scary movie craze? You had the scary movie one, scary movie two. Those were the only two good ones. And then they did Not Another Teen Movie, and he played like the prototypical asshole jock. And he was hysterical in that movie. But like, I thought he was more of a comedic actor. And then when I heard he was Captain
Johnny
America,
Storm.
And then Johnny Storm. Yeah, exactly. And again, comedic. It worked. Mm-hmm. A hunky comedic guy. But then to see him as Captain America, I was like, I don't know. But man, oh man, nailed it.
Best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love and then it. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. I mean, God, but I would have loved, the issue for me is I would have loved to see Wolverine played by Hugh Jackman.
Good transition.
To interact with Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, with Chris Evans, Captain America. I wish.
It could happen.
We got the multiverse.
We have a crazy Deadpool 3 movie coming. But this is, like I just said, this is a good transition because I want to talk about Hugh Jackman.
Yes, Hugh Jackman.
But he wasn't at first. I mean, his evolution of, he wasn't big.
No.
He was too tall to play Wolverine, they said.
He is still too tall to play Wolverine. Wolverine is my height. I am 5'4".
Right.
Wolverine is 5'4". So to me, that kind of representation wise, I felt like I wasn't represented. And I was always a little mad about that. But it's so hard not to fall in love with Hugh Jackman.
Oh, of course not. It's amazing what this did for his career and how much he just was shot into the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
And his portrayal just got better and better, and the energy he brought to it. I love to watch some of like the behind the scenes stuff of him doing his thing or getting charged up, or just it's awesome. And when Logan came around, I was sad because I was like, oh no, we're never going to see this character again. And then that Deadpool 3 announcement just made my day.
Oh my God. I love Ryan Reynolds so much.
Yes.
Hugh. Yeah. You want to be in Deadpool 3 with the cereal bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just walks up the stairs. Is there, you have it. It's just like, I remember being like, oh my God, is this real?
Right. What a cool way to do it. And that's just, I love that he gets to come back to the character, especially when it's attached to the MCU. So
yes.
I don't know what this movie is. It's going to be crazy.
They have already, they've already given out some plot points. So Deadpool has the Cable's time travel thing.
Do they say Cable?
So I think so. I don't know, they but it says to. It says Cable in the thing. So he uses it.
Where's Josh Brolin? Is he showing up as Cable and Thanos in this?
I don't know, but the speculation says that he shows up at the end of Logan. Deadpool with Cable's time machine and pulls Wolverine out of it, being like, "No, you're not dying yet. You're still got movie to make."
And, I want that to happen.
And the TVA with Owen Wilson's Mobius comes because there was a
variance.
A variance, yeah. And he comes in, so they're being chased by the TVA, both Wolverine and Deadpool. Now, again, all speculation, but I love it. I'm in love with it.
Yes, I think it'd be a really neat thing to do, especially since you want to play so much in the multiverse at this point with Phase 5. So I'm pumped. I just the return of those two, the fact that Disney is going in on an R-rated Deadpool movie. But this movie will be rated R, which is even more insane.
They were clear on it. They were very clear on
they
it.
They were. And like the more this movie evolves, I'm just like, this could be the greatest MCU movie ever.
Honestly, yes, it really, it very much could be. I'm trusting Disney more and more as they evolve. They are making some moves in Marvel, and I think that that's good because I think Marvel did get a little stale. As much Ant-Man and the Wasp was a good movie. It was fun. I had fun watching it. It was way better than the new Thor movie, but I really think that the newest Thor movie, Love and Thunder, I really think that's when the heads over at Disney and Marvel kind of looked at each other and were like, okay, like we're going to need to rein, like we're going to have to pull the rein like they did with Star Wars. Like we're going to need to pull the reins on this a little bit. Let's start delivering quality instead of quantity. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot better stuff. And I'm trusting Disney on that.
I also want to think about, and we're getting a little bit off topic, but I don't give a
sorry.
Crap. I don't give a crap because this is an important part of, our whole process here.
Yes, our process.
We're very engaged in
trust the process
in comic geekdom. I don't know. I was Ant-Man and Wasp. It's the first film of Phase 5, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's a good launch. With Thor 4, it's just like, did Taika have a different movie? And then they cut it all, you know, they cut a bunch of it. Or was it still just as goofy and maybe goofier? I don't know. I was just so taken back by it because I feel like they could do so much more with that character.
Mm-hmm. Gore? Yeah.
Like Gore, Thor alone, like Thor, period.
Yeah.
Like they haven't, I don't know. They need to like retcon or just reboot Thor in a different multiverse. We can watch a crazy Norse.
Chris Hemsworth reportedly was not very happy with how Thor was played out. Ragnarok worked.
I loved Ragnarok.
It was nearly a perfect movie.
It's great.
In the MCU. It was the perfect mix of hilarious comedy and serious action. It was serious. It made me feel things, and a lot of the father-son stuff with Odin and his two sons, Thor and Loki. It was very beautiful. It was moving. And, you know, the whole, I believe, are you the God of Hammers? Like that whole thing was incredible. And I think that they really steered away from that. And I think that we can get back there, and they're making a lot of moves right now in the back end. So hopefully it brings us there. But I will say this, I am very much looking forward to Deadpool 3. Everything I'm seeing, I'm looking very, very forward to it. And if they're going to, I know there's some other media we definitely need to talk about, especially for one thing on there that I loved. Who do we see as the next Wolverine? Because
don't even ask me that question. I have
really
no idea. I have no idea. I get so frustrated with trying to fan cast.
Yeah.
Because like, I just want an unknown almost. I don't want a well-known person to play it. Like, I don't. It's funny. We were talking about the casting call. In the casting call in Wizard Magazine, it was like, it was Danzig. Danzig.
Yeah, wow. That's wild.
Yeah, and that was such a crazy thing to me. And it was just like, there's a lot of different options that you could do, but they needed to just go true to the character Wolverine. And I want to see a short Wolverine.
Yeah, so do I. Although I did see some fan art with Daniel Radcliffe as Wolverine.
I've seen that, yeah.
And honestly, I think it works. He's got the cigar. He's got the hair. I don't know, though. Could he pull it off? We'll see. But anyway, I'm really excited because Captain America 4 is bringing us adamantium. So we now know that the X-Men are not far behind, or at least Wolverine.
Do you think Deadpool 3 ushers in the X-Men?
I mean, it's first of all, Deadpool originally came as it was an X-Men character originally, number one. Number two, Wolverine originally an X-Men character. So the likelihood of that, I think, is very high. Will it be? I don't know. But it's definitely, I would say, a very high likelihood of that.
While they're bopping around the multiverse, do they go to a live action version of X-Men, the animated series?
I'm gonna, kids, if you're listening, earmuffs, I would shit myself in the theater if that happened. I would genuinely just shit all over the seats if we had a live action X-Men animated series, even for like 30 seconds.
Yep.
As they bop around the multiverse, as you said.
Yes, bopping around is an official term for traveling the multiverse. I say this because Doctor Strange 2 introduces us back to Patrick Stewart, who shows up for another film after we've heard he's done, and now he's not done. So he's probably going to show up in this movie as well, along with Ian McKellen, I hope.
I hope so.
He said that he and Ian McKellen are not done with X-Men movies. So
I love it.
I'm going to freak out, and if they, whatever they do, I think it's going to be a really fun ride.
I think so too.
You mentioned other media. There's really two big things for me. Wolverine and the X-Men animated series was awesome. If you remember, I think it was around the Earth Mightiest Heroes time for the Avengers cartoon.
Yep.
So it was kind of the same art style. I think it was all created by Christopher Yost. It's an amazing writer and puts this stuff together. I loved this show. I thought it was a really cool version of, you know, of the X-Men story.
It was good. I liked it. But I have to say that The Long Night is probably one of the best audio anything I've ever listened to in my life. I can't remember the guy's name, but he played King Thorin in The Hobbit. He was Wolverine in this. He voiced Wolverine. And I know that I was reading that him in the booth to record this got quite violent in character. And the screams and the Wolverine's signature screams as he goes into battle really shook me. This was my, I used to work, for those of you that know the area, Rochester has this very historic area called High Falls. I don't know if you're familiar, Chris, with the High Falls area.
Yes, I am.
Original cobblestone roads from like the early 17, 1800s, that lead to this beautiful waterfall. And I used to work in that area. My building was in that area. And let me tie this in here. I would go for walks during the spring and summertime because I had a very sedentary job. So I would go for like a 10-minute walk and I would go back to my desk and work. And that was what I was listening to. So I'd have my earbuds in and I would put on The Long Night and I would just listen to that. And it was so, so good. If you like podcasts, this is a drama podcast, sound effects, voice acting, Wolverine. It's just so good. Have you listened to all of it? Or
I've listened to half of it.
Okay.
I was also listening to it during a job, and I think when I lost that job, I fell off it. So I need to go back to it. Richard Armitage.
Yes, that's it.
Is Logan. So that's when I mentioned earlier about how I really like Wolverine stories, mm-hmm. and when it gets kind of out into the team stuff and more, I don't like it as much. This is the kind of stuff I love. It's like gritty. A lot of time it's like a mystery, and it's just, it's so cool. And I agree with you that this is a great production, and it really kind of launched the whole podcast, I guess, scene that has been happening as late. They did more and more after this one, because I think it was so well received. And they did Wastelanders, which is takes place in the Old Man Logan mm-hmm. universe. So I love that they developed more of that.
Fantastic Four one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't Fantastic know if you Four. Listened to that one. I can't remember what it was called, but it was done through the point of view of a reporter trying to figure out what happened. Galactus attacked, the Fantastic Four responded, and then Galactus disappeared. And there's this whole controversy saying that the Fantastic Four conjured a fake Galactus to point themselves out as the heroes while causing a lot of property damage. And this reporter is trying to get to the bottom of that. And that's the whole podcast. Very interesting. Very good. It was very good.
I like those kind of views. A lot of time during the Bendis years, they would do, like, I forgot what the title was, like Frontline or something, but they would do a mini series based on like Ben Urich would be in it, and he'd be the main character, and he'd be covering like Civil War or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that aspect of it was always really cool. And I loved those series. So yeah, I'll have to check that out, because I have heard of that. I totally forgot about that one. So
it was good. It was good, but nothing like The Long Night. The Long Night was just seeing as when you had, I had forgotten about it until I saw your outline, and I was like, oh my God. And then I just started hearing it. And it was, man, oh man, it was such a good show. So check it out anywhere you podcast. I believe it's available everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything is kind of, I think it was like some of them were SiriusXM exclusive for a while, and then they get released out into the world. So all of these are generally free. So mm-hmm. please, you know, it's a great way to listen to your comics, I guess.
Yeah. So. And it helps. You have the voice acting and the sound effects. That was mm-hmm. great.
Yep. That full production is awesome. So, all right. I think that's it for the night. That's a good time to wrap it up. I'm going to leave a link in there for The Long Night. Get out there and listen to it if you haven't. But yeah, this has been The Wolverine. It's a character that, you know, it's fun to grow up with these characters and to really talk about like the influence they had on your fandom and where we are, you know, so many years later. And it's a totally different animal. That's how I really feel about this whole comic zeitgeist. It's awesome. And we're just reaping the rewards of it.
it really is a great time for comics right now, and so many great titles to read. But yeah, I mean, as always, if you're looking for a recommendation or looking to find out where to start, it's great. I've had a lot of people reach out to me, just asking me, hey, I'm looking to get into comics again. What do you suggest? I love that. So if you're listening, reach out to me, reach out to Chris. We would love to Sherpa you, whichever direction you want to go in. I got my little brother into comic books, and he's been reading pretty religiously, which is awesome. He's only reading Star Wars right now. I'm trying to get him past that, but I did buy him Batman's Year One. And he said he's been loving it. So I sent that to him for his birthday, and I'm like, this is required reading. And he's reading it. He's like, I'm loving it. And all of you, I mean, my daughter's obsessed with comics. And for those of you that are parents, I did a parent-teacher conference, and I said, listen, I monitor what she reads. I make sure that they're appropriate, but she reads a lot of comic books. And the teacher's response was, this is the age, get them reading. I don't care if it's a label on their cereal, like get them to read. They need to read instead of in front of the television, have them
or their
read.
Devices.
Exactly. And if it's comic books, even better. Apparently comic books have more what are called unique words per page than any actual book. Which is like words that are not used very much anywhere are used more in comic books than in any other book. So they're a great learning tool. So parents, if you want to know how to get your kids involved, cause you want them to read, reach out to me, reach out to Chris. I've got a stack of recommendations for my 9-year-old.
Heck yeah. So check us out on the Listen Up Casuals Facebook page. Anything you want to plug? I heard Critical Mass is back.
We just released our first episode. By the time you hear this, we'll probably have about 3 or 4 episodes up. We've recorded 3 episodes. We're back at you with some just absolute filth and grime, and just talking about our world today in the absolute filthiest way. So please check us out, Critical Mass Podcast on Facebook.
Awesome. And you can always check out Tell I Talk, the geekly news. We talk about all the current happenings from movies, TV, video games, comic books, and toys. So check it out, Tell I Talk, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
I love it. Well, Chris, what do you think? I've had fun.
Me too. I'm ready to go retract my claws.
Absolutely. And to the rest of you, make sure you support your local comic shop.